Spin 103.8. You're welcome back to Spin Talk with Lauren. Now, I was telling you that according to research, sex education needs to be more graphic for teenagers. And this is something we've spoken about on the show, and especially at what age we should be introducing certain topics. So lots of thoughts and opinions coming in already. You can get involved in the conversation on Facebook or text or WhatsApp 087 711 1038. Well, this research was carried out at the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine, and a research associate involved in it is Dr. Ruth Lewis, and she joins me on the line now. Ruth, you're very welcome to Spin Talk. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Ruth, something that we have come across a lot on Spin Talk is just how much more open people are becoming about sex, which is great. But how do we know that certain practices or behaviours haven't actually changed? It's just that we're talking about them more.
Yeah, that's always a possibility in any survey research where you're looking at change over time, that it might be that as we're becoming more open in society, that people become more comfortable saying to researchers that they've done particular things. So that is possibly one factor that could be at play. But we go to lots of effort in the research that we do to allow people to really report their behaviour as accurately as possible. They understand that the study that we're doing is a scientific study, and the questions that they answer about the specifics of the types of sexual behaviour that they've been engaging in, they're answered sort of automatically into a computer in private, so nobody gets to see that information. So we know that helps people report things accurately. And that's been the case, that people have self-reported their behaviour since 1990 in this survey.
Okay.
So
what were some of the main areas you were looking at in the research?
So we were looking at how young people's sexual behaviour with people of another sex has really changed since 1990. So the survey that we've done, it happened every 10 years, so starting in 1990, 2000, and then 2010. And what we sort of observed across this period was that young people are really experiencing a wider range of sexual practices. So it's not about young people having more sex in terms of how often they're having sex, but rather it's about more variety in the types of sex that they're having. So we're seeing more young people experiencing oral and anal sex as well as vaginal intercourse.
And what do you think, and I understand if the research didn't cover this, Ruth, but what do you think maybe are some of the main influences on teenagers when it comes to sex, that they are experiencing different types of sex nowadays?
Yeah, well, as you say, our data gives us a good picture of what's happening. It is harder for us to say why. It's a good question about what's influencing this. We're actually seeing some of these changes happening amongst older adults as well. So it's not just young people who are experiencing more diverse ranges of sex. I think there's always a tendency, isn't there? We want to be able to pinpoint one thing and say that's why sex is changing. But, you know, sex happens in the context of our evolving society. And there's a complex range of things that are changing. Social attitudes are changing. We're becoming more open about talking about a whole host of things. Technology is changing, our ways that we can meet new partners and so on. We're seeing more imagery about sex and discussion about sex in society. So there's not going to be any one thing that is driving this change. It's going to be a complex range of factors, I think.
And with that, I mentioned the headlines, you know, we need to look at sex education. And I appreciate that the survey is about sex with a member of the opposite sex. But do you think maybe we need to start thinking about teaching young people about sex other than in a heterosexual relationship?
Absolutely, yes. I mean, our particular study, we did collect data on same-sex experience. We just, in this analysis, didn't focus on that because we didn't have the numbers, but absolutely we should be, best practice in sex education would be sort of talking about relationships that come in all shapes and sizes of all forms, and that's what young people really want to be talking about. So we know there's sexual health charities such as Brooke in the UK that ask young people what sort of sex education would you like, and young people very clearly come back and say we want sex education that kind of addresses diversity and types of sexuality and also gender identity as well. that's the information that young people want. And of course, sex education should be addressing the information that young people want themselves.
What was the conclusion of the research? Is it just that, yes, sex education needs to be more graphic, or was there more to it?
So it's really just because we're seeing these changes in sexual behaviour, we're just really saying that we therefore need to make sure that our sex education is fit for the 21st century. We need to make sure that young people have accurate information about all the different types of sexual practice that they may or may be engaging in, may not be, may go on to, may not go on to. I mean, there's so much information out there in society now, and it's not all good quality. Mm. And so we really think that all young people deserve access to accurate information that can help keep them safe and have positive experiences.
Yeah, that's so important. And I suppose what we're asking people today is whether or not sex education should be more graphic. And something we have asked in the past is at what age then we should be approaching it, and also how much responsibility lies with the school and how much with parents. You know, it's a tough one, I think.
It is a tough one. I mean, when we talk about graphic, that's a word that alarms a lot of people, alarms a lot of parents. And I can understand why. But we're not really talking about, you know, someone coming into school and talking about the specifics of sexual practice in a one-off session, but really best practice sex education that is on regular and ongoing, and that's what young people want, and really builds up to those discussions over the course of several years. So earlier on, talking with young people about, you know, what it means to be respectful in relationships, what consent means, maybe breaking down some of the unhelpful gender stereotypes about how men should behave, how women should behave, and so on. And then once that foundation's been laid, it can be appropriate to talk in a little bit more detail about different forms of sex. But in terms of this question about responsibility between schools and parents, I'd say the responsibility absolutely lies with both. Parents should be chatting with their young people about these things. But we do know from the survey, from previous work that we've done, that about 40% of young people in the latest survey said that sex education in school was their main source of information. And so we, you know, seeing as many young people are relying on schools for their sort of developing knowledge, we do therefore need to make sure that information that's being provided is accurate and high quality.
The research was carried out at the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine. Research Associate Dr. Ruth Lewis, thank you so much for your time on Spin Talk today.
Thank you.
And Jed joins me on the line. Hi, Jed.
Hi, how's it going?
Is this Jed from Facebook?
Yes, it's Jed from Facebook.
Jed, you have daily gold. We love your messages.
Oh, thanks. I didn't even know that.
Well, listen, you're always getting a shout out when we read your Facebook messages. But now, I can't let you go into the exact details of what your message says on Facebook today,
no,
right?
I won't.
But you're concerned about exactly what we should be graphic about and what we shouldn't be graphic about.
Well, I think that what the schools are willing to teach at that age is not far enough compared to what teenagers already know. Like, they're well ahead of the stuff that they're getting because, you know, they have way too much access to that. And we can't stop that these days. There's no way of stopping it. But they know a hell of a lot more than we give them credit for. So if you're going to be teaching stuff in school, it shouldn't be exactly sex education, but it should be more practical kind of stuff, like protecting themselves when it comes to, you know, say, like, online sex or even just going out to clubs and meeting people, like, kind of, your own general security, but like in a more practical term, because they you know, they know the basics, they know it, and they just start to make a joke of, you know, if you do classes like that.
Yeah.
So you have to really kind of have a more realistic, really,
I think
class
you're
teaching.
You're touching on something that Dr. Ruth kind of mentioned in the interview there about kind of sex and relationship courses. So, like, not put them in scenarios, but talk to them about scenarios that they might find themselves in.
Yeah,
and that might be helpful.
And you shouldn't really kind of base it just on relationships, because let's be realistic, you know, how many of them really are in relationships anymore at that age group? It's more about the actual being with someone, and especially if it's kind of like a one-off thing, you know, how to be careful in that situation. And then especially as well to the online sort of aspect about posting your photos, kind of just sort of be more aware or even sort of show how easily it can be shared. Like, you have to kind of really physically sort of make a really good example. You can't tell them something, but if you actually, like that teacher, just an example, there was a teacher in America and she used a younger photo of herself in a bikini and she put that up online in some group. Just, and she got terrible abuse of other teenage girls.
Okay.
But that was the whole idea. She was trying to show how girls can be so cruel of a photo like that's a revealing of someone.
Yeah.
She actually put up this like photo of herself from like 10 years before to prove to her classroom, her class, what people can actually do to you online just through words.
Wow. That's a really good example, Jed. Yeah. And I think, like you were saying, just kind of practical things that they can take into their lives then rather than just telling them stuff.
Yeah, like something that they can actually say, yeah, you know, that is actually helpful. That's actually right. Yeah. Not like they're being talked down to.
Yeah, I get
that. You're actually giving them decent advice.
Yeah.
That it's not stupid sounding, do you know what I mean? Because they know the basics at that age and there's no point in trying to teach them all about condoms because they've heard all that before.
Yeah.
You kind of have to go to the next level nowadays.
Jed, it's been so lovely to actually speak to you on the phone. As I mentioned, we read your comments out whenever you're in touch on Facebook. So it's great to meet you and keep the gold coming, okay?
Oh, thanks very much.
Thanks so much. Have a great weekend. Bye now.
You too. Bye.
Alison is next on the line. Lots of opinions are coming in on this one. I want to hear what you think. 087 711 1038. Hi, Alison.
Hi.
Alison, you're a teacher, so you know what we're talking about here, about how you approach sex ed. I mentioned kind of going at it in a biological way earlier on. Is that what you do?
Yes, so I'm primarily a science and Cambridge teacher, so I teach biology for a leaving cert as well.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, and it comes up. It's in the curriculum, yes. Sexual reproduction. So how mm-hmm. do you go about it, and do you get many questions?
So usually for junior cert science, I teach, I'm very kind of constrained to the course, I have to teach the course, but I would usually kind of the last part of the session open up to questions. And unfortunately at that age group, 14, 15, they're not very confident or comfortable in asking questions. And any questions they do ask, it's kind of them trying to, you know, be funny or anything like that.
Yeah.
But I find with the leaving cert classes, even if I teach in fifth or sixth year, they seem a lot more kind of interested in it, and they kind of see the kind of short end term or the short end goals here. You know, this is the last time they might get any formal education in this topic, because I don't think great schools are great with the sex education part of it. Because if you remember, I'm only teaching the science part of it, and I have to teach it on the course.
Yeah.
So I would answer a lot of questions for the fifth and sixth years, but I just find that it depends on what age group you introduce it. And I agree with the lady's prior point that was on, that it should be a continuous build of information,
yeah,
as opposed to just, you know, pulling it out one day and saying this is it and never speaking about it again in the next 6 years of their education.
Yeah.
But it's very difficult, as you said.
Yeah, and I completely appreciate it. I think sometimes whenever we discuss sexual education, the pressure that must be on teachers, because you are confined, and a lot of schools are confined mm-hmm. because of their religious ethos as well.
Yeah.
So it can't be easy, and there's so much responsibility there for parents too. But you're right. Like, I remember we were in sixth class and there was like sex ed day, and there was such a fuss about it, and it was so needless. Mm-hmm. And then the next time it was ever mentioned to me was when I was doing Leaving Cert Biology.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just completely not on. There's no continuation there in education. And obviously children have questions, or kids have questions. And I do feel like my students, hopefully they'd be comfortable coming to me as a, you know, a grown adult in a post of responsibility. But there'll always be children who aren't comfortable, and you always worry about them. Or what are they doing? Are they researching it? Are they researching it the right way? Mm-hmm. Is there an adult in a post of responsibility that they can come to and ask these questions? You don't know. You can only be there for the ones who are open, who are asking. And hopefully the loud one will ask the question in the class, and it'll be the question that everyone else is thinking as well.
Yeah, fingers crossed. And, you know, yeah. Thinking back to my own time in school, the teachers know what's going on. They know who's going out with who, and the teachers hear stories. And I wonder, as a teacher, like, do you worry sometimes, well, this is going on, and I heard about that party, and I heard that rumour about that student, and they probably don't know what's going on a lot of the time, or they're learning as they go.
Yeah, that is it, essentially. And learning as you go is fine, but with something so delicate and life-changing as sex, you know, like unplanned pregnancies or STIs and things like that, I was discussing STIs in my 6 years, and they were saying, you know, well, what do you do? And I said, well, most STIs are just bacteria. So you just go down to your GP and they'll give you an antibiotic, and that's really the end of it. But you do worry about things like viruses. And I told them, you know, you can't get an antibiotic for a virus because it won't do anything.
Yeah.
So they do have to be careful. So something simple as like how to put on a condom, things like that, they just don't understand.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Really interesting speaking to you, Alison. Thanks for your time.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
I was just thinking there when Alison was talking, just when I mentioned, you know, the day we did sex ed in sixth class, I just remember the fuss over it. And I remember this was so wrong, right? There was a girl in my class who had come from another country. I think it was Australia or New Zealand. And she was a year younger. Now, everything else in the class, like she was better at everyone than at maths. And, you know, so advanced in her education. But because she was that year younger, she was taken out of the sex ed class because the headmistress felt she wasn't mature enough for it. And there was tears over it and it was awful. She was really singled out. But that day itself, just the fuss over it. And like, I learned nothing that day because there was this big fuss. As Alison said about Ruth's point about it being an ongoing course that like you kind of drip feed information throughout the 6 years of secondary school, maybe even started in primary school. What do you think of that idea? Would that be more beneficial? We started off today asking whether or not sex education needs to be more graphic. That is what I would like to hear your opinions are. Think back to your own sex ed in school, what kind of experience that was for you. And if you have younger brothers or sisters or even your own kids, how would you like them to learn? And is there stuff that you just feel, do you know what, it's not easy to talk about and maybe it might be too graphic, but they've got to learn it sometime. I'm on 087 711 1038. You can text or WhatsApp. So many messages coming through. Mark says on Facebook, there are good decisions and bad decisions. I would suggest that emulating the sex you see in porn is a bad decision. But this is something we've talked about and we've heard so often, is that you learn, like Alison said, who was on the line a moment ago, about sex in a scientific way in school. And then you have all these unrealistic expectations because you might have watched porn or you might have heard things from your friends and you don't know what's what and what's up and what's down and what goes where. And it's all very confusing. And Rachel and I were just talking about ourselves. And without going into details a little earlier on, we were like, here, I didn't know that until it happened. Or I didn't know this until, you know, I was in my 20s and that happened. You know, there's so many things because it's uncomfortable and because you don't even know what the questions you want to ask are when you're a teenager, because you don't really know how things work and you hear about things through friends, or now more often you see things in porn, and it's not always realistic, and that just puts a lot of pressure on young people. Jackie says, oh Jesus, do you remember sex ed in school? You were mortified laughing all the way through it. Teenagers are still the same today. I think that the talk should be one-on-one at home with mom or dad, depending on the sex of the child. Be open with your kids. Start talking while they're a bit younger, because from around 13 onwards, they think they know everything. And if you didn't have that openness with your child already, they become very embarrassed. And that's true. And I know everyone is different, so everyone has different relationships with their parents, and some of us might be like, oh God, I would have died if my parents had tried to talk to me about sex, while others have really open conversations. And I don't think it depends on your gender. I think, you know, you're comfortable with who you're comfortable with, and it mightn't be one of your parents, but I do think an openness from a young age, so that as these topics are brought up, it's not all alien and it's not embarrassing. Anne-Marie has texted in. She's a teacher like Alison, who was on earlier on. And she says there's a relationship and sex education program for all year groups. It's taught every year and it's about 5 to 6 weeks worth in classes. And that's great to hear. And I wonder if all schools implement that, because as you heard from Alison there, she teaches science and does Leaving Cert biology and chemistry. So it's very much in a scientific way that she approaches talking about sex, and she does leave it open for questions, but she said the junior certs are too embarrassed, and the leaving certs, you know, they do try and get certain questions in, but again, there's certain questions I don't know would you ask in a school setup. You know, is it something that needs to be a separate program? I don't know, Anne-Marie, how do you find that that relationship and sex education programme works in your experience? Celine says, get rid of the porn and give reality sex education. Lads look at porn and think that girls they meet do all the stuff that's misleading. It puts pressure on the girl. Show them reality and maybe show a little more graphic subjects during sex education. But I wouldn't condone kids the age of 7+ going into sex ed classes where there's a woman on a certain morning show saying the kids as young as 6 should have sex ed classes. Their kids don't need that crap on their shoulders at that age. Let them be kids. You're talking about me? No, I don't know. Maybe another show. But I do think that we need to start introducing certain things. Like we spoke yesterday about kids hugging and kissing relatives. And Laura Wood from the M Word mentioned like what's a good touch and a bad touch. Like those kind of things and what's okay and what's, and if you're comfortable with things, you know. So you can, in a very normal conversational way, start introducing these kind of ideas to kids. Sorry, Rachel tells me no, get over yourself, they're not talking about you, referencing This Morning over in the UK. All right, thanks Mel. Back to earth. Okay, Amy's on the line. Hi Amy.
Hi
Amy, what do you think about sex education? Is it detailed enough? Do we need to be talking to kids more openly?
Yeah, I don't think it needs to be more graphic. I think it needs to be more open.
Okay, how do you mean?
I'd agree with you talking about just talking about sex, not what it is or the graphic details of how you do it, but when you, like a young kid sees people kissing, or whether it be a man and a man, a woman or a woman, I think that needs to be spoke about, and like sex education, that kind of a way.
So
younger.
Yeah, like we were saying, kind of talking about relationships and how they work and how, you know, some people get married and some people just live together and some people just meet for one night.
Yeah.
Those kind
of
things.
I think the whole lesbian, gay, I think that needs to be brought into it much younger. And as well, all the whole education, if it alleviates the pressure, then why not talk about it younger? Kids are being sexualized younger, so maybe they need to be educated more, even younger.
Okay, Amy. And do you think at any point it would be worth getting into kind of more graphic details? And what I mean is, without, you know, going too much into detail, but there are certain things that happen and there's lots of information that you don't find out until you actually experience it yourself. And maybe, as you know, uncomfortable as it might be sometimes, you need to make young people aware of how their bodies work and bodily functions and things like that.
I don't think that's the school's responsibility, and that's just personally. I think that's a more kind of, you should learn at home.
Okay, that's up to the parents in your opinion.
No, that's just my opinion.
Yeah, no,
I had my
absolutely.
Sex education in a convent by a nun, and it was the most awkward day of my life. We started by everyone spelled sex, and we just laughed because we were 16, 17, most of us had sex, and there's a nun coming in trying to tell us, and it was such old information, such dated information, that we just laughed at it. So I'd agree with, like, reality rather than this kind of, I don't know, this picture that people think it's a man, a woman, they kiss, they're in love, that it, like, I'd agree with reality.
Yeah, but maybe not too graphic is what you feel.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Amy, really interesting to hear your thoughts. Thanks so much.
No problem. Thank you. Bye.
It's been great speaking to you today and kind of hearing about these different opinions. And there are so many messages coming through on this topic and just people's own experience of sex education in schools. Sarah says, I never got a proper sex education in school because I was a year younger than everyone else in my class. My mum wouldn't sign off on me sitting in on the sex part. So I literally knew nothing until I was in my late teens, 20s. I used to think that condoms were a cream you rubbed on yourself to prevent you getting pregnant. My mum never had the chat with me either, so I was totally in the dark. It shouldn't be such a taboo thing. It isn't in so many other countries. It's healthy to talk about sex. Very, very interesting. And like the girl I mentioned in my class, like, was pulled out of the sex ed talk because she was that year younger. And that just made a bigger deal of it, I think.